in talking about that new song, that everyone's going to sing when in heaven. And I know today, even some people don't even really don't even know anything at all about by being redeemed or anything like that. But it says right here in hymn book 488, speaking about my Redeemer. The angels in heaven doesn't know anything about being redeemed, because they didn't have to, because they've always been there with God. Plus, also that we see that I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how my lost estate to save. In his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom freely gives. Sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. And this right here, it's got four stanzas right here. And I don't know why that they even put four stanzas in the songs and in the hymnal book. Because the third stanza or the third verse, or what do we want to call it, we don't even recognize that one at all, because we don't ever sing the third verse. And I don't know why we are that way, but we don't. But if you look at it, in most of your song book, where it has four stanzas there, in the third stanza, if you go back and if you'll just read it afterwards, you'll come to find out we have left the most important part of the words out. It's just like reading God's Word. We'll read down and we know what's coming next. It's coming, it's speaking about sin, and then we'll kind of step over this part, go to another, next, because we don't want to speak. But it says, I will praise my dear Redeemer. His triumphant power I'll tell, how the victory he giveth over sin and death and hell. Sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. The last stanza here says, I will sing of my Redeemer. I will. And all of these four individual standards right here starts off as I will. It's not I might or maybe, but it says I will sing, I will tell, I will praise. And it goes back and says, I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love to me. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God, with him to be. Sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. The individual that wrote that stanza down, and I didn't look who done it, but I tell you what, I believe it comes from God. I really do. But this morning, I want to go back to the book of John, and I want to go back to chapter 20. Of the book of John. I want to go back down to read 19 through 29. 19 through 29. What remaining land? What time remains? Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so, I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sin remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sin ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut up, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hand, and reach thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast been seen. Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for the reading of thy word this morning. Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you just anoint these words, Father. Anoint my lips, God. And Father, that I may preach, Father, what you've laid on my heart this week. And Father, we just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you for Jesus and what he done for us at Calvary. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I want to look at that last verse there. I just read. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. A little girl was asked by the Sunday school teacher, "What is the day?" She says, "It's Easter." "What happened on Easter?" asked the teacher. She replied, "Jesus came out of the tomb. And if he sees his shadow, he goes back in for 7 weeks." But this little girl, this child right here, she did learn something. She was listening to the teacher. She just got a few words, a little backwards there. But really looking at that, that's where a whole lot of individuals are today. They'll come to church. They'll come in and they'll sing "The Amazing Grace, How I Love Jesus, Victory We Have in Jesus," and speaking of and what I just read a few months ago about the Redeemer. But yet, as soon as they leave the worship service, if it's on Sunday morning, as soon as they leave the worship service, then they'll go back home or go where they're going or eating or whatever. Then they'll get to the point and say, "Well, you know, I can just wait a little while longer. Preaches the same thing. I can go back in 6 weeks. I can go back in 2 weeks. It basically is the same message." May be true. That may be the reason that some of us, we're in the pulpit that we preach, it seems like the same message over and over. It's just like this preacher one time, he went and tried out for a church. He was pastoring up in West Virginia, but he went down to North Carolina trying out a church. They called him and asked him to come, and he went down there. He tried out on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and the next week they called him. And they said, "Yes, as you got the votes." Well, he said, "What was the percentage?" "You knew I wanted a high percentage. Because even if I got 5 or 10 or 15 people against me, you know, yeah, I can have the rest of you for me. I can have God for me. But they're going to make it awful hard on you. They're going to have to make it hard on me." He said, "Your percentage was 97%. He said, "Well, okay," he said, "you let me pray about it, and I'll call you by the end of next week." They said, "Okay." So he went home and from work that day, and he was praying, and he said, "God, you know that you've opened these doors. I have not entered or even thought about moving. But Father, if this is what you want me to do, then you continue on your way in doing what you want me to do. And I promise I'll follow you." So he did follow him. He went back, he called the church on a Thursday, and he told the chairman of the pulpit committee at that time, he said, "Yeah, I'll take the church. But it's going to be the first of the month before I can be there." He said, "That's okay." Which he had three, it will be 3 weeks. So he went on the third week. After he'd went, he went down. He was praying and seeking God's will and for the church and just wanted to know what must he preach. He says, all the people that have been so good to me and my wife and my family, my children and all of us since we've been here, and even the time we come that Sunday to preach, they've been so good to us. They fed us. All the hospitality that they've shown upon us was great. So the Lord laid on his heart a message for the first service. The first service he went on, he preached that message. Then that evening service, they didn't have they had a singing service, but then they had fellowship service where everybody gathered around that afternoon. And after they had the service and everything, song service, then they had him up there. They were welcoming him and his family to the church and all of that. Come Wednesday night, he stood up again and he preached. Same message he preached Sunday morning. Sunday morning, he preached the same message. Sunday night, he preached the same message again. Wednesday night, he preached the same message again. He kept on preaching the same message. So some of the elderly people in the church had went to the deacons, and which one of them was on the pulpit committee, and he was the chairman of it, says, we need to talk to y'all. Says, we love him to death. We love him, his wife, his children, and we are so glad that they're here with us. But it's one thing we don't understand. Since he's been here, says he's preached one message, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, for the last month, a month and a half. And we don't know that maybe he just don't know how to get in there and come up with a message or something like that or whatever. We just don't know. We don't know if he's had any schooling or not. And we don't know if he's got any other messages or not. And they say, so they called him into the meeting one afternoon on a Wednesday night. In which they had to be, it was a business meeting week or what it was, but they had a business meeting that night. The people in the church knew what was going on. And they was talking about him. Talking, not about him, but about his messages and everything. So, then he called the pastor and his wife, his children back into the service. After they then had a discussion through the business meeting, got all that preliminary either way and all of that. And they say, Pastor, we have a problem. He said, well, what's the problem? He says, some of the people has brought to my attention that maybe you just don't know how to go about getting up a message to preach. Says they brought it up and said that only message you've preached is the same message. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, week after week. And they just want to know, do you need to go back to school? Or do you need a little
a little more training or whatever. Says, don't worry about that. The church will pay for it. He says, no, sir, I don't need that. Says, I got plenty of messages at the house. Matter of fact, I've got 66 books that has plenty of messages in it. He said, but why? And he said, and this is what the Holy Ghost gave him. He says, but why should I waste my time coming up with a different message for each service when a whole lot of you haven't heard the first one yet? You've had your ears closed to it. You need to open your ears and you need to hear the message. Now, I'm not saying that's what I'm doing. I'm not, because I try not to, but sometimes that's the way the Lord works. But I'm going to be mindful unto God. And I'm going to be led by the Holy Spirit. But not only that, talking about this little girl right here. And it says, we are here this morning. For what reason? For what reason are we here this morning? We are here this morning because of, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Has anyone in here seen the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you looked upon him as you look upon me, or turn your head and look upon someone else? No. You haven't seen him with your bare eyes. But the latter part of that verse is, I love it. Blessed. Whew. Blessed. Blessed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. We are blessed because we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have believed in the word of the living God, that he is the Savior. He is the one that keeps us. And he is the one that holds our hands. He's the one that took us and put us in the palm of his hands. And no one could snatch us out of it. No one. The devil wants to, but he can't do it. If the devil ever does get us out of his hands, it's not going to be because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be because of us. It's going to be because of you and me. But just think about, and I'm going to hurry through this. Had not Jesus risen, we would have missed the sweet fellowship that we have together. You know, I love to preach. I love trying to. But you know what I love better than that? That I know I can come in to the church house of God, shake people's hands, and we have fellowship one with another. We can't go out here in the world and just say, well, we're going to go over and join a group of people over there. They look like they're having a ball over there. So we'll go over there and we'll kind of fellowship with them. No, we ain't going to fellowship with them. Because we'll get over them. What? What are they doing? Oh, they talking about somebody. They lying about somebody, or they having a preacher for lunch or whatever. Well, you can have me for lunch anytime you want to. But I'll tell you one thing. You better make sure the food that you got on that plate tastes good. Better make sure. because the Lord will. As we will not have a place to assemble. Did you realize that if it wasn't for us, if it wasn't for you all that are here today, each and every one of you, if you weren't here, if nobody was here but me and my wife, and you weren't here, kind of hard to preach to empty pews. Because them empty pews don't have no life to them. But I'm thankful that you're here. I'm thankful that while you're here, you're wanting God's work done. And I thank you most of all for the support that you have given me. And I thank you for your prayers. In Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exalting one another. That's what coming to the house of God is. That where we can fellowship one with another, and how we can exhort and bring you up. Yes, we've all had problems this week. We've all had struggles this week. But we can come into God's house on Sunday and meet and have sweet fellowship. And then we can lift somebody up. Says, you know, this week I was talking to somebody. Come to find out they weren't saved. That's what we need to do. But exalting one another. And this right, the last portion of scripture right here in verse 10:25 of Hebrews. The last portion of that. I think he's speaking about today, right today. And said, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is Paul speaking about? I believe he's speaking about the day when the Lord Jesus is going to step out on that cloud. And when the angel there is going to be right there with him, and he's going to have that trumpet, and he's going to blow that trumpet. I'll tell you one thing. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're going to be able to hear that trumpet. But if you ain't saved, you won't hit a trumpet. Thank God, not only did God give me the ability to be able to see Him through the Scripture, and thank God that He's given me the ability, even through the Scripture, that I could hear the trump of God one day. And it's going to be a beautiful sound. Like you've never heard before. A beautiful sound. And we need to do that more and more today than we ever had before. We need to proclaim that Jesus is coming. He is coming. He is coming. He is coming. We must look up because our Redeemer is coming. Why? That's what the Scripture says over here in the book of Revelation. In the latter part of that book there, 22nd chapter. He says this, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of my of any words of the prophets, of the prophecy of this book. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. In verse 20, he which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Do we wake up in the morning and when we're saying our prayers or praying that morning, the first thing that we say, we'll say, Lord, today will be a marvelous day for you to come back after the church. Today will be a grand old time if you just come back after me. Today will be a great day if you just come back after the church. That's what he's saying. We must pray that way. We must pray because in the book of Titus it says that we must look for the blessed hope and the great appearing. We must look for the great hope and a great appearing. God's house of fellowship. God's house offers comfort and support. God's house offers encouragement. God's house will motivate in his work. The disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. That's the latter part. Right in the middle. The disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews. We do need to assemble. Each and every time that these doors are open, it's an invitation unto you to be in God's house, to where you can have the blessings of God. Because it says right here in verse 29, says, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed. Blessed. You want a good blessing today? If you want a blessing tomorrow? If you want a blessing for Tuesday or Wednesday? You come on back to church tonight. Hallelujah. You just come on back to church because you're going to be missing something wonderful tonight. You're going to be missing something. Why? Because God has your name on a specific blessing there. He has your name on it. And the only one that can receive that blessing with your name on it is you yourself. And we must not give up. Psalms 119:73, thy hand have made me and finished me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Romans 8:24, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what is man saith, why doeth yet hope for? Miss seeing Jesus work. We miss seeing Jesus work. We miss seeing what they have saw here there in the upper room. With the 10 disciples that was there, and the other individuals Well, you know, Judas Iscariot, you know, he was a devil in a half. He sold the Lord out for 30 pieces of silver. That's the reason he was beaten. That's the reason he was hung. That's the reason they put him in the grave, was because of Judas. But then, who else sold him out? Who else sold him out? I believe Thomas sold the Lord out for not showing up, not being there, and not letting the Lord know that he'd heard everything the Lord had said. 1 John 1:1 said, That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Miss out on the comfort of the Lord. We missed out on the fellowship of the Lord if we don't show up tonight. We miss out on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're not here tonight, we'll miss out the blessing for that, of seeing that. And then we'll miss out on the comfort of the work. John chapter 14 and verse 16 says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that ye may abide with me, with you forever. We would not be able to see the comforter's work. 14:26. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. It doesn't say the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. It says right here, what does it say? He, individually, he, speaking of the Holy Ghost, speaking of the Holy Spirit, he is the comforter. He's my comforter, and he's your comforter today. And he will teach us all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Miss seeing and hearing the individual cry out to Jesus, we will not be able to witness to the lost. John chapter 6 and verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last days. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your heart, ye double-minded. In concluding, if you are here today for the first time, which I know you're not, but I am going to ask you this. Have you ever asked Jesus Christ personally on yourself, personally yourself, asked him, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me because I'm a sinner. And redeem me by thy blood and thy righteousness. We've come this morning, and we've come to the here today in saying that we want all what God has to offer us. How many of you would want another blessing from God? Hallelujah. Hey, I need all the blessing the Lord has. And I can start naming them. And when I get through
get through naming them, then you could start naming your wood. We'd be here for probably maybe 10, 15, maybe 20 years and not even moved. Why? And probably even we probably missed out on some. But the Lord is there. He wants to give his blessings out. I don't know if anybody else today, I don't know if any bank that wants to give me some money, I don't know if it, any bank that wants to give me a loan, anything interest free and 12 months to make my first payment. I don't have that. I don't have nobody coming in. Say, well, preacher says, you know something? You got two automobiles and they got right many miles on them. Says, tell you what we're going to do. You just go on downtown, fit Riverside Drive, where you want to go. You just pick up your brand new automobile, what kind, whatever. Said, don't worry about it. Says, and I'll come pay for it. I ain't nobody offered that to me. But the Lord Jesus Christ has offered me all the blessings that he has. He says, they're there for me. And they're there for you. As each one stand, Bill comes this morning. Everyone stand. Does anyone have something on your heart this morning that you need to come to the altar? I've had people to come to me and say, well, yeah, preacher, says, how about praying for me? You know, I'll pray for anybody. But for me to get down in front of the communion table and then somebody come and say, preacher, would you pray with me? Would you pray for me? I'll do it. But my prayers will go up to heaven, but they will not be answered until you go to it. Until you go to it. Go ahead, Bill.